You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
And that's a review of Primal. Yeah, it's streaming on Adult Swim right now, everybody.
We're supposed to stop now. Oh, okay.
It's infectious, isn't it?
No, I couldn't get a grunt in edgewise. That was impressive, both of you.
Well, I'm very fluent in prehistoric caveman languages. You know, it's one of my classes I study here in school next to my anthropology classes and everything else. So,
yeah, people have called me very basic. I can take that.
Well, we're doing these caveman grunts because we are talking about Genndy Tartakovsky's Primal. This is a 5-episode limited run that came out on Adult Swim, well, this week. It's funny because when they announced that it was a 5-episode thing, I thought it was going to be one of those, like, week-by-week things like Samurai Jack was. No, literally 5 days in a row, they did every episode of the, I guess, first half of this season, they're kind of saying.
Yeah, I was going to say, this isn't over yet, right? Like, this is just half of the first season. That's become Adult Swim's thing because they're like, oh, we make more money that way. And more power to you. Keep taking my money, Adult Swim. I love what you're giving me.
Yeah, well, because it sounds like what it is that they wanted to kind of test the waters to see how people received it. And I think from what I've been seeing, like, on a report on, like, the LA Times, there are 5 more episodes to be produced. But I feel like we should just talk about this now because, I mean, it's already starting to make some ripples now and then. And I think this would just help. Like, anything to help secure us to get more episodes of Primal, I will do it. Because, oh my gosh, this...
Yeah, I'm pretty right there with you, Justin. I was happy that when I was, like, just trying to watch this, like, not only can you watch it for free on Adult Swim, you might need...
Well, the first,
like,
episode.
Yeah, the first episode and whatever is the newest. Because it's only... they only lock them up a couple days after they were... Or I guess the day after they were available, since they were dropping one every day.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm also, like, here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, here, let's actually introduce everybody. So, hey, Bradley, how you doing, buddy?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, and then, like I said, my Neanderthal companion here along with me, Julian. Well, so, I really can't wait to talk about this. So, Bradley, since you've been very quiet, why don't you give us a little gist? Like, what's the setup here for Primal?
Well, the setup is we see this man... Not just any man, a prehistoric man, hunting for fish. And then that all goes wrong, so he returns home to his family. Or at least he thinks that's what he was doing. He finds that his family is gone. And the rest of the episode is, or the series actually, is how a prehistoric man comes to terms with that. Comes to terms with change, loss, hunger.
Almost, another word you could throw in there maybe is... Evolution.
Yeah, there you go.
But
It's the evolution of the triumph of the human spirit and the origin of the man rides a dinosaur meme. There's a ton of stuff that this series offers that you just don't get in a lot of media
from
these
other
days.
Historically accurate media. Exactly. Continue.
Well,
because if I want to watch a guy beat up a giant T-Rex by himself with a spear, where else am I going to see it but on Primal?
There you go.
I know, right? But that's what I love about this. I mean, first of all, for people knowing, this is a very Genndy Tartakovsky production. And for people who don't know who Genndy Tartakovsky is, shame on you, first of all. But second of all, this dude has made so many great animated classics. Like, I mean, he did Samurai Jack, which is his big claim to, you know, claim to fame. He's worked on a bunch of projects as, like, an animator and a director for stuff like, I want to say, I think he was part of Powerpuff Girls a little bit for a while. Or
Hotel Transylvania and Dexter's Lab. That is his original thing, I think.
Yeah, and then he also did the 2D Clone Wars series, the one that came out between episode 2 and 3 of Star Wars, which, you know, whatever you say about the CG one, which is actually a pretty good series, but the 2D Clone Wars is my definitive, like, you know, series for doing in between episode 2 and 3. But yeah, he has made so many great works, and this is entirely his vision with this stuff. Not only in terms of this, the scale and scope and style of it, but they let him go completely unfiltered for this, because this may be one of the single most violent cartoons I've watched in a long time.
And one of the best.
Effortlessly. Oh, yeah.
Like, it's, you can just tell that he had a vision and he stuck the landing, like 100%.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just, you know, to just go off and talk about what's so great about this series. First of all, I really, really dig the art style that he went for in this. It's got this weird kind of, like, pencil-drawn look in some of the edgings of the of it kind of thing. Like, it gives this very, like, grungy, you know, gritty look to it. But it's done in a way that's very colorful and lush at the same time.
Yeah, it doesn't look super cheap. Like, it doesn't look like Super Jail. Is that the name of that show? Or I'm trying to think of Squidbillies. That's the other Adult Swim show that I was trying to think of. It doesn't look cheap like that. I think that the outlines are a little stronger in this. But there, my only complaint probably about this is like, man, give my boy Tartakovsky here like $5 more. You know, like just a couple more dollars.
Yeah, but I think that was almost purposeful, the way that he did that. You know,
kind of had a wabi-sabi feel to it. And that brings about the tranquil feeling you probably had during the moments of peace and quiet, which were few and far between. You guys
you know,
probably
you
noticed.
You say that, but it's actually not, like, that's the thing. When I say this show is very violent, because it is super violent, but there's actually not consistent action all the way through. Like, there's actually quite a few moments that are very true to Tartakovsky's style, where it's very meditative or thoughtful or emotional.
Yeah, very psychological stuff happens here. Like,
it goes
to a place that cartoons don't normally go to.
Absolutely.
Like, this is definitely aimed at adults.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which, I mean, seems to be a trend we've had lately of, like, slightly more adult or slightly more, you know, mature-focused kid shows or cartoon shows, which, I mean, when I say kid show, this is definitely not for kids. Don't let your kids watch the show.
Unless your kid is fucking awesome. No, I'm kidding.
I'm going to agree with Julian and you, Justin. You probably shouldn't let your kids watch this, but there's going to be a kid at their school that'll be like, you guys seen Primal? And if your kids are the ones that are like, no, that kid's going to be like, okay, that's fine. That's fine. You don't have to be. Not everyone's awesome. So.
Wow, that's like the nicest bully, but yeah.
Well, you know, in an ideal world, bullies would be nice like that. But anyways.
Yeah. No, but one thing also, too, I mean, again, playing to the strengths of Tartakovsky here, one of the best things that he did, and this is one of those things where I've always said Tartakovsky is one of the greatest visual directors of any animated show working out there. But his biggest weakness often is the way that he does writing, because just sometimes he seems like he gets bored and he wants to do, like, kids' jokes or goofy humor or silly bits of dialogue in his stories. Like, that's what sunk Samurai Jack a little bit in the final season, where it was really good, except when he clearly decided to give up. But here, because he's got absolutely zero dialogue whatsoever in the series, it really forces him to be so visually driven by the storytelling here. And it really works all the way through.
It absolutely does work. This is one of those styles that I think will never fucking die. Like, every once in a while, we get one of these freaking great animated movies that has no dialogue really in it. Maybe there's, like, something that implies language on the wall somewhere, but that's not even in this. You know, like, the last thing that I think I saw that was animated with no real dialogue was Shaun the Sheep. And that was one of the best movies that came out that year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
No,
yeah.
It's one of those things where anybody from any place can watch this and feel like they're engaged with it. You know, it's got such great broad appeal to it. And it's just great the way that again, it has all the trappings of his visual styles, like the close-ups on the eyes and certain ways that they stage characters and actions and, the way that he moves the cinematic black bars and as such. It's very Tartakovsky, but it feels like it's him getting to use every trick up his sleeve with his animation design.
It feels like Adult Swim was like, come here, buddy. Let's do some cocaine. Just you and me in the room together, okay? We're going to do it, and it's going to be great. And it feels like you said, like very much his style, but with 100% that Adult Swim stamp on it. Like, I thought that it was kind of charming that, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the Adult Swim logo was, like, right on the line of, like, the black bars. Like, it was in between the screen and the black bars on the bottom. I don't know if you guys noticed that. I thought that was kind of cute.
I'm sure that was part, you know, just for the streaming site. I don't know how it looks like on TV, because I watched it on the Adult Swim website. But, you know, yeah, probably, to be fair. But, and that's the thing, like, TV, I... Yeah. do appreciate that this was one of those situations where it was shown on Adult Swim. Like, this could not have been made on Cartoon Network the way he wanted, you know?
I want to go on record right now. Side note, Adult Swim, anyone listening there, please hire me. I love you. Adult Swim is hands down, like, one of the best, like, I don't know what you want to call it, production houses or just, like, just teams out there that are willing to take actual risks and turn out something that could fail, but at the same time, at the end of the day, like, will be dope and people will come back to it.
Well, because yeah, it started like off as a thing where essentially it was a label for potheads, more or less, mm-hmm. when it came out for, you know, on Cartoon Network back in the day. But it's built this reputation for housing great adult animation, great experimental projects and that stuff, and many careers have been launched through Adult Swim, you know, backdoor stuff. Like, even
Hear they made that show that's like something like Back to the Future or something. Maybe it was called like Mork and Riddy or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's the biggest success, but
season is coming out soon of Mark and Rachel, was it? Anyway,
yeah, Mork and Mindy, clearly. Mork and, yeah,
but, yeah, that's what it is. Mork and Mindy. Yeah.
No, but that's the thing. Like, you know, even in saying that, it's like, yeah, they're willing to give people a chance, and it's really, really great the way that they put out this kind of stuff. And you know, I don't know how much I can repeat myself at saying so many great things about this show. Because also, I gotta say, on the soundscape, everything is great too. Like, because, you know, again, they have to construct this whole environment with no dialogue and minimal expression from these characters, which, I mean, to be fair, these are some of the most intelligent creatures I've ever seen, where it's like, yeah, a T-Rex couldn't possibly be this emotive in real life or the sentient. But it plays into this universe of Tartakovsky's mishmash of ideas that he does in almost every project. It's like, okay, if we take some dinosaurs, some Planet of the Ape-like monkey men, caveman, these giant bat monster nightmare fuel things, you know, just throw them all into a giant blender and then mix them together.
Yeah, and put this monolith in there just for good measure.
Yeah. But it's just cool. So organic. Yeah, it's so organic. It's so professionally done on every level with that stuff. Like, it creates a whole character for this environment and for all these people. And even just the expressions of how they create these two main characters, which they're technically called Spear and Fang, but, you know, they never actually say that in the show. But they're very well-realized characters for as minimal of, you know, characterization they're given throughout this series.
I mean, the word, and I feel like I want to hear what Bradley has to say, but the word that describes this is iconic. From the design to the fucking music, man, I wish I could have seen this in IMAX. It fucking deserved it. Oh, like, yeah, if we get the rest, of this, okay, Tartakovsky, like, you and me, bro, like, let's hang out, let's do some cocaine and mushrooms and candy flip, and let's write an IMAX script. Let's go.
Yeah. No, but Bradley, what do you think?
No, I agree. I think everything about this, every single aspect of creating animation, everyone on the team used their whole ass as opposed to their half ass. Like you said, from the music, from the color palettes, from the movement of these creatures. One of my favorite things about how violent this is, you know, violence I take with a grain of salt. Because something that people see as violent might not be that violent to me. But what's the most violent to me is when something doesn't want to die. You know, people say Zack Snyder movies are violent. I don't think so. Everything that dies in a Zack Snyder movie has made peace with it and seems to be bored by the act. But the creatures in... the creatures and the man...
Just throwing the Al-Ghul under the bus, but go ahead.
Aww. That one was okay. But yeah, these creatures not only don't want to die, they thrash against it even in their final moments. And that's just fantastic. And something that, like, it is on Adult Swim and kids shouldn't watch it. But, oh, can we teach kids how important life is by this haunting imagery? Maybe they'll get it through their heads and stop being nuts. The emotion in this show also, all of it is amped up to 11, not just the rage, and the rage is beautiful to watch in this. From the shaking muscles in the face that most actors even ignore these days. I don't even think Sam Worthington, for example, has muscles in his face because of how dull he is. But the man in this, he twitches and his eyes squint and his teeth gnarl, and the creatures are the same way, and it's beautiful. But then in the moments where there is no rage, that shines through as well. There's a scene in which he climbs a cliff, and he has a purpose to making this climb. And it's one of the most poignant observations of grief I've seen in a long time.
And epic
masterpiece is how I also would describe this.
Yeah, I mean, there are, it does play with some cliched conventions, but because the creators were challenged, you know, to not have dialogue and they're just using the music and the visuals, it makes it really stand out and feel more unique than it would if they were talking to each other, which I really think would fuck this all up.
No, that's the thing. Like you said, though, Bradley, the fact that what makes it so good is the fact that it is primal. All the motivations, all the emotions, all that stuff are so simplistically driven, but in a way that feels real. Like, everyone's motivated by just the need to eat, to live, to feel, to love, to do whatever. It boils down to the most basic but profound of motivations to help bring these characters forward in some way or another. And it really works.
That's what's so fun about this, is like, at first you're like, oh, it's a caveman show. Okay, this is not based in any sort of reality.
Right.
But
right.
At the same time, it feels really grounded, and you're on the edge of your seat the whole time. And one thing that made me think, Bradley, when you were talking there, was that this show is kind of like, if you think about it, it's kind of like waves crashing on a beach, you know? Like, it'll be like kind of slow, but then all of a sudden, you know, the tide will come back, and then a huge wave will come in. And it won't feel out of nowhere. It'll feel like a natural buildup. Like, the way that they use the sound and the way that they repeat certain images, like, I just got so much from this character who never said anything to me, who is, like, very internal, but at the same time, like, just so expressive and just, I don't know, I got a really good look at this damaged, fucking primitive monster person guy.
Yeah, no, he's really cool, and it's just so good. I gotta say, like, again, this also, it's an episodic structure, so it's like, there are through lines, but it's all very, it's very much in the style of how Tartakovsky directs episodes. They're very self-contained stories with a basic setup, build-up, climax, and resolution kind of thing, but they're all done, I mean, it just proves how great you can do concise, complete storylines in like 20, even like 19 minutes a piece, you know, for these shorts. And it's really, really
God funny. Bless the fucking 20-minute runtime. God bless it. The best stuff this year, besides, you know, like The Boys and maybe like what's it called? The Gelfling show or whatever.
Dark Crystal.
The Dark Crystal. Like, this and Undone, like, they're both animated, but, like, god damn it, I just love being able to get in and get out. Like, this, you could put all of this, like, in one sitting in a theater, and it would be phenomenal. I think people would head out to see it, too.
I mean, this more or less is a movie. Like, yeah, these five episodes is just one, you know, one animated feature kind of thing, and it really works, so.
And it has a complete ending. Like, with a total arc. And it leaves you in a place that's not necessarily, like, the most satisfying, but it feels complete. And I love that.
Yeah. No, I don't know what else I can really say. I mean, we're already at 18 minutes. I feel like, it's not like there's not a lot to say about this. It's just, there's so much I want people to discover in this show. You know what I mean? Like, I want them to go in with just our preparation and go in to just experience the crazy and the awesome and the sweet that happens in the show. Because also, I will say this too, nobody is safe in this show. Because seriously, no.
Yeah.
They, right off the bat, the first episode, you're like, oh, that's the level that we're working with here. Okay.
you know? Although it is playing with some cliched conventions, the fact that they have the balls to go through with what it looks like is going to happen is really refreshing in a nice way. What I'm trying to say is, yes, I like it when I see children die in cartoons. Okay, yes.
Yeah. It's rough. It's very rough in this stuff.
And it's rough because the children want to live. That's how things should be done.
Oh, yeah.
It's rough because the dinosaur is like a dog. Rough, rough.
Let's go on to final ratings before you break me there, Julie. Why don't you go ahead?
I'll take first. I think that this is pretty damn good. Like, this is really, really good. I think that, I don't know how many more times I'm going to say it's great, but I think that there is room for improvement, but in a good way. You know, like, I still think that this is some top-tier stuff, but I think that there is enough room for them to change it just a tiny bit, so when they come back, like, with a second season, like, I don't expect, like, those next five episodes to fix, like, my slight nitpicks with the animation, but, like, if they were to make a movie to follow this up, or another season, I think they could just amp up the animation just a touch. But that being said, I love visual storytelling like this. I don't think we get enough of this. I love the characters. I want some plushies. I want Tarkovsky. Hear me now. I want a video game. Okay? I want it. 9.6 billion years ago out of 10.
Oh, wow. Bradley. That's a great scale. I can't compete with that. I'll just die then. No, I'm just kidding. That was dark.
Rather, you need the will to okay, live. Back in it.
I'm not good at the grunts. Yeah, I think it's a masterpiece. I also would like a video game. Kind of want him just to do everything. I want to see a project from Genndy like once a year. That would be awesome. Ridiculous. I know you can't keep up that quality with that kind of schedule. I think these characters could pass a Turing test. There's so much emotion in their faces. I haven't seen that in an animated feature in a long time. Well, because I usually watch anime, and you know, where the nose is just a dot. But really looking forward to the rest of these five episodes. And like what you said, Julian, this is a completed arc. So I don't really mind if the next five episodes can't live up to it. I got to experience something amazing from a genius of animation of his time. I'm very happy about that. Probably end up getting this if they do release a box for it. If not, maybe digital. And I'm very happy with this. Overjoyed. This is going to definitely make my end of the year list. So I'm going to give it 10 billion years ago out of 10. Ooh.
I was really happy to see that this is available on Amazon. They're selling the episodes individually.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice. It's really, really freaking good. And, I mean, again, I want to praise the music so much of this, because that's one thing that Tarkovsky does really well in his shows, is really good musical scores. And the guy, well, two people who did it, actually. It's Tyler Bates, who's actually got a pretty extensive career doing music. He did, like, Guardians of the Galaxy. He did John Wick 3. He's done pretty much a bunch of music for a bunch of shows and movies. And then Joanne Higginbottom seems to be kind of his protege slash co-worker, kind of stuff like that. But it creates such a great atmospheric tone, and then when it gets up to the action just ramps up incredibly with the music. So it's just really, really good. I honestly can't think of really anything bad to say about this. It's just shy of being a 10 out of 10 for me for reasons. I can't really even think of why exactly. But it is one of the things where I think my opinion might change once I see those five episodes they claim they're still developing. You know what I mean? Like, if that really sticks the landing for a complete season, then I think that this might push it to the 10 out of 10 for, you know, good quality animation stuff. So right now I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 scenes of a T-Rex trying to climb a mountain.
That was so great. Honestly, it's fucked up, but that just reminded me of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, like, climbing a mountain, like, in an illogical way. I was like, oh, they could do it. Why can't you do it, stupid dinosaur? What's up, Mama T?
No, Mama T didn't give up. It was about perseverance and tenacity. You can project so much onto nature. This was so well done. You could really project a lot of emotion into these beautiful characters, and I can't wait to watch it again.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going back to watch it just right now. Also, I got to tell you, people, it's, you know, whatever you say about the violence and stuff, wait until you get to the final fight in this five-episode arc, because it's amazing. I'll just say that. It's amazing and terrifying.
Yeah, it's one of, I think it might be the most violent thing I've ever seen on Adult Swim. This really is like a new step. Like, I mean, think of the most violent moments of Rick and Morty, and then multiply that by Caveman.
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell where the trails began or end, eh?
Yeah. I got my entrails everywhere, I can tell you that. That's gross.